Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. So far a text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who not only revealed the law of God, but He also fulfilled it for us, dear fellow redeemed. In catechism class, when going through the Ten Commandments, I've asked students to give me one word which sums up the commandments. Well, after giving it some thought, the catechumens answered like commandments or law. Now, these are all good answers to summarize the Ten Commandments, but there could be other biblical terms like statutes, ordinances, precepts, or judgments. These words are all good descriptive terms for God's holy will. However, there's one word that really sums it up best, and that is love. The Apostle Paul says of love in his letter to the Romans, "Love is the fulfillment of the law." Now, this kind of love is no ordinary kind of love. It's not speaking of an emotional, filial, friendly, or romantic kind of love. It's the highest form of love. It is a love where we put others before ourselves. It's a selfless love. In today's scripture text, Jesus found himself in the receiving end of questions. A Jewish scribe, who was an expert in the Old Testament laws, asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" In other words, which is the most important commandment? This question was asked of Jesus in the setting of the Jews trying to trip Jesus up, trying to find fault with him. And they figured this is one where they've got him. After all, there are all kinds of laws. Ten Commandments, the many Levitical laws that were handed down to Mount Sinai. And then in addition to this, these Old Testament Jews, they added hundreds upon hundreds of laws to those found in the Bible. So, which of all these laws are the most important? Jesus said of the most important law, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, all these Ten Commandments can be summarized with one word. Love. The first three commandments, or the first table of the law, deal with loving God. The next seven, or the second table of the law, deal with love for our neighbor. What Jesus declared here was not only revealed in the Old Testament, but repeated by him in the New Testament. It's for all people, for all time. Before Jesus gave the first and greatest commandments, first and second one, namely loving God and love our neighbor, he prefaced it by stating, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It is absolutely critical that we not only acknowledge this, but accept it to have a correct understanding of God's holy will for us. This brief declaration is stating there's only one God, only one true God. That one true God is revealed in Scripture as the Lord God Jehovah. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God, the three-in-one God. He, and he alone, has the divine authority to command people of every time to observe his holy will. Now just think of what we could end up with if we didn't know this or didn't accept this, that is, the triune God being the only true God. We could fall prey to all kinds of false religions, like the Muslim religion. Have you studied it? Do you know what the Muslim religion is about? Well, they have all kinds of laws that they have contrived to the detriment of their followers, as well as those who don't believe in Islam. They have developed what's called the Sharia law, which they want to be a dominant law throughout the world. According to Sharia law, women are to be completely covered from head to toe when they go out in public. A thief who's guilty of stealing could have his hand cut off or whipped in the public square. It's permissible and even commendable to kill infidels. That is, those who have forsaken the Muslim religion or people who are not willing to accept this faith. And a martyr, someone who dies in jihad, the holy war, well, they say that's a direct ticket to heaven. You'll just go straight to heaven if you do that. None of this reflects the holy will of the one true God to love him and to love our neighbor. What does it mean to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength? It is to place him above everyone and everything else in our life. He is to be loved to such a highest degree that he holds first position in our hearts. And so as Christians, we don't go around and say, "I'm number one," or "we are number one." No. As believers in the one true God, we say, "God is number one in my heart and in my life." With God having first position in our hearts and lives, we are to have the highest regard and respect for him and his will. This highest regard for the Lord would cause us to dread the thought of transgressing his will and thus offend him. We are to be more concerned about pleasing him than anyone else. And also, instead of worrying or fretting about this or that and putting our trust in ourselves or someone else, God says, "Put your trust in me. Have confidence in my care." If we were to love our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, it naturally follows that we want to keep all of his commandments. The Apostle John writes in his first letter, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Now, if we were to take the mirror of God's law, that is, of his holy law, and reveal what's in our hearts and our lives, we all have to confess that we have miserably failed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. This is evidenced by the statement that's found in Holy Scripture that applies to us and everybody else. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us have always put God first in our hearts and in our lives. All this shows that we've not given him first place there. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against your commandments to love you above everyone and everything in this world. Thankfully, we have Jesus as our righteousness and our salvation. The Lord Jesus, who informed the Jewish scribe that the greatest command of God is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. He is the one, Jesus is the one, who perfectly kept that command to love God above all things else. And he did this as our Savior. He did what we couldn't do so that he could be our righteousness credited to us and enable us to stand before God as his holy children, not having any righteousness of ourselves, but only the righteousness of Christ that covers over all our flaws and imperfections. Isn't that amazing? That you can stand before the holy God as his holy children, in whom he is well pleased? It's because of Jesus, your righteousness. Thankfully, we have Jesus who is our righteousness. Jesus put God the Father first in his heart when he made the tremendous sacrifice of leaving his exalted throne on high, came on earth to become a humble, lowly servant of everyone. Jesus came to serve everyone in humbleness and lowliness, to carry out God's plan for our salvation. In the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by the devil, not once did Jesus give in to his temptations and fall into sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the hour of completing his mission was approaching and it was getting very difficult for Jesus as he knew what was awaiting him on Calvary, he wanted to observe God's, the Father's will. He said, "Not as I will, but as you will." And again he said, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Because Jesus put God the Father first in his heart and in his life, the Lord Jesus fulfilled his will by redeeming us from all our unloving and our deserved punishment. Secondly, the Lord Jesus revealed to the Jewish scribe the second greatest commandment, saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is, this love for our neighbor, this is to come after our affection to God, all of our neighbors, our family, our friends, our acquaintances, even our enemies, are to be placed above ourselves. Such a love is foreign to us. In the selfishness of our sinful nature, we say, "Me first." How about that at school? Getting in line to do this or that. Me first. Or in the place of work. Me first. No. Loving your neighbor as yourself means you put your neighbor before yourself. The Apostle Paul gives us a good commentary on what is involved in loving our neighbor as ourselves when he writes in Romans, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." So, as I said before, when it comes to the matter of loving our neighbor, that means everybody. Family, friends, acquaintances, enemies. We're to love them more than ourselves. And we are to do them no harm, either in word or deed, but rather help and befriend them. Here again, if we were to put up the mirror of God's law to see ourselves, what's in our hearts, what's in our lives, it would lay bare unloving thoughts, feelings, and emotions in our hearts toward our neighbors. It would expose words that we've spoken, which hurt our neighbor. And it would reveal actions taken on our part which injured our neighbor. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against your commandments to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thanks be to Jesus that he loved all of his neighbors more than himself, and so fulfill the second greatest commandment to absolute perfection in every way for us as our Savior. Looking over the record of Jesus' life, did you ever find Jesus putting himself before others? No, in every instance, he put his neighbor before himself. Throughout his ministry, he can be seen tirelessly helping and serving other people, whether it was preaching the Word of God, performing miracles to heal, feeding them, or rescuing them from spiritual or physical harm. And then, when he came to finish his earthly mission, he put everyone before himself when he went to the cross to bear all our sins and to suffer all our punishments so that we could be forgiven and eternally saved. No greater love can we ever find than the love that Jesus showed us. After Jesus answered the scribe, this Jewish expert said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Since the scribe approved and accepted Jesus' answer, the Lord Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far. You're close, but you're not quite there yet. You not only need to acknowledge this as God's holy will, to love God and love your neighbor, but it's necessary to come before the Lord with a contrite, sorrowful heart, to confess our sins of failing to love God like we should and loving our neighbor as ourselves, and then to turn to the Lord Jesus in faith, trusting. He's paid for all my sins. I have full and free forgiveness through him, and his righteousness is mine. May God have mercy upon us through Jesus Christ for failing to love him and our neighbor as ourselves. May we put our faith in his forgiving love for us in Christ Jesus, and may God's great love for us fill our hearts with love for God and our neighbor. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.